Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're in the season of Lent. That's why it's purple. You can always tell when it's Lent in a Lutheran church because there's purple. And while it is not specifically a Lutheran church year season thing, how pastoral was that? Can you tell I went to seminary? Church year season thing? Seriously, daylight saving time? Not my friend.
Amen.
While it is not exclusively a Lutheran thing, I do feel like it is a very inherently Lutheran time of year. And what I mean by that is Lutheran theology, the Lutheran way of looking at the world is not always, fun. I'm not saying that to be depressing. I'm not saying that even as a joke. I'm just saying it to be honest. Lutheran theology is very geared in the idea that this world is broken. The Lutheran understanding of what it means to be Christian is very geared and built around this idea that the world is broken, that there is sin. And I know part of you are thinking, and you should be thinking, well, that just sounds like something that's inherent to all Christianity. And in some ways it is, it's true, except that we talk about it. And I'm not trying to say that to lift up Lutheranism and put everyone else down. But stop and think for a moment about how much we've already talked about that today. We did a confession earlier. And we do that sort of thing so often that in some ways we might not even think about it when we do it. It's just kind of something that we do on a Sunday, right? We have that confession. Give me the nod. Give me the nod that makes Pastor Chris keep going. We talked about our sin and our brokenness. And I gave you these words of peace, these words of hope, these words of forgiveness. Not my words. I hope you recognize that. That's never from me. It's not my call. But we did that. And we do it so often that in some ways it's almost taken as a given. It almost becomes easy to forget that we've done it because we do it so often. You know what I mean? It's just a normal part of gathering for worship. And yet if you stop and think about it, there are plenty of places that you could go and choose to worship on a Sunday morning where that would not happen. Where that would not happen. Even now, even in this time of Lent, this time of reflection, this time of thinking about the sacrifice of Christ, what that has meant for us, what that still means for us. This time of recognizing our dependency on God. And I don't say this as a criticism, but just understand the comparison I'm trying to make. There are plenty of churches that I could send you to tomorrow, this morning, where you would not have done that. Instead, you would have walked in, you would have said, Jesus is my boyfriend. Yeah, let's praise. And that's okay. It is okay to praise. It is okay to lift up God's glory. It is okay to be aware of the power of God in our lives. But we also need to recognize, our inherent brokenness. We also need to recognize the ways in which life is not perfect. The ways in which each and every one of us, myself included, stumbles and falls short and needs grace to pick me back up. But there are places that you could also have gone this morning where you would have walked in, they would have told you, you are a dirty, rotten sinner. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. You need to throw yourself down. Throw yourself down on God's mercy. And maybe, just maybe, if you play your cards right, God will forgive you. Because that happens too. We live in a polarized world. We live in a polarized world politically. If you do not know that, please tell me you all know that. But it isn't just a polarized world politically. We have a theologically polarized world. We have a spiritually polarized world. We have a world in which churches feel as if they must be one or the other. They must either be a place in which someone walks in the door and all they receive is saccharine sweetness. I had some friends when I was in college. We made up our own praise song one day as a joke. Well, I shouldn't say we. It wasn't me. Don't blame me. I'll never forget the chorus, though. It was, Jesus is my boyfriend because I'm the one he loves, was the line. It's an awful song. Awful theology. And yet, I promise you, I have been to churches where I've almost heard those exact words, but I've also been to churches where that other polarized extreme is there, that message that you are worthless, that message that you are just this piece of trash, that if you are lucky and if you are do your best to be perfect and do the best that you possibly can, that God might actually care a whit about you, reach down, forgive you, and pull you out of the muck. And the way I look at it, because I'm, you know, good old Lutheran boy, as Kathy likes to remind me sometimes, is that we live in a world of both and. We did that confession this morning because we are sinful. We are broken. The world is broken. I've talked to you before about the difference between sins and sin. We get so focused oftentimes on sins, individual actions, individual behaviors, the idea that if I do this, that's a sin. If I do that, that's a sin. Those little pieces of check marks, those little check marks that go off on our tally sheet against God. You know what I'm talking about? Our spiritual ledger line? We do that. But that's not what's important. What's important is the idea of sin itself, the idea of sin as brokenness of relationship, brokenness of relationship between us and God, brokenness of relationship between you and each other, brokenness of relationship between you and creation. That's sin. It's not individual actions, it is a state of being. That is what God promises to cure us of. That is what God promises to heal us of. That's what we're mulling and pondering so much during this time of Lent. This Wednesday and Thursday, I mentioned to you that Pastor Eric is coming. And I don't know, maybe I do, an easy way of explaining why he is coming. He is coming specifically for the purpose of helping us as a congregation to sit and ponder, to spend some direct and deliberate time thinking about who we are as a community of faith, what our role is in this neighborhood, how we are a part of this neighborhood, what this neighborhood has to offer, and how we can be a part of that. We didn't move from the old location to this location so that we can slowly peter out and die. Amen?
Amen.
We did not move from our other location to this location just so that we can have a longer period of time before closing our doors. Amen?
Amen.
We moved here because we recognize that in doing so, yeah, sure, it bought us time, it bought us an opportunity, but it bought us an opportunity upon which to act. It bought us an opportunity upon which to bear fruit. Kathy talked this morning about the lime tree. this lime tree. I'll be honest, I didn't know it was a lime tree until she said that. I thought it was a bush. I was wrong. I even read the reading. I knew that there was a tree in the reading, and still I was all, yeah, it's a bush. And she's right. This tree needs a chance to grow. This tree needs an opportunity to be loved and cared for and tended, and it has a lot to offer. What we're going to be doing on Wednesday and Thursday is recognizing the ways in which we need to be loved and cared for and what we have to offer, but ironically also the ways in which we can give back. The church is not a social club. The church is not a habit. The church is not a place for us to just come and be comfortable, because the gospel is not comfortable. The gospel has never been and will never be comfortable, because the gospel challenges us. The gospel challenges us to see the worth and value in each other, the worth and value in creation, the worth and value in ourselves. Remember years ago, there was some paperwork I had to fill out to become a pastor. That's not true. There was a lot of paperwork I had to fill out to become a pastor. I remember how the question was phrased. I just remember my answer. It had something to do with reflecting on my call in the ministry. I just remember the part of the answer was something along the lines of, one of the most powerful things for me to realize was that God's grace and love for me allows me to make mistakes, because I don't have to worry about being perfect. I don't have to worry about earning God's love and grace. I get to bask in it. I get to try. I get to move forward. It's kind of funny when you stop and think about that reading we heard earlier. Did you catch what the gardener said was going to help this thing grow? Manure. That's funny. I don't mean that as some sort of third-grade potty humor. I mean that's funny, because if you stop and think about the sorts of things in life that help us grow, the things that we work through, the things that help us recognize our dependency on God, some of them are manure. If you've already been coming to the to the Bible studies on Wednesday and Thursday, I would ask you to still please come this week. Because while we're only going to have an hour or so with Pastor Eric, I promise you, it has been an amazingly powerful experience meeting with him for the council and for myself. And I think it promises to be the same for you. And I think it will give us an opportunity to deliberately think about how far we have come, and at the same time, how much more there is to do. And I don't say that to make you depressed. I don't say that to make you go, oh man, I thought we moved. That was hard. That was enough. I say that for you to recognize the opportunities. That we have been blessed with an opportunity to bear fruit. And maybe they're going to be limes, which are somewhat sour and yet can be used for awesome things. Maybe they're going to be like key lime pie, yes, Dad. Maybe it'll be a good, hearty Northwest Gala apple. Tried and true. But we can and we will bear fruit from this place. And we can and we will be a part of what is already growing in this community, because we didn't move here just to last a little long here. We didn't move here to save the neighborhood. God's already at work here. in ways that we are aware of and that we are unaware of. And our call and our challenge is to see the ways that we can be a part of that and build on that and grow from that. Not just numerically, but spiritually. Martin Luther used to always say that you are simultaneously a saint and a sinner. Or a sinner and a saint. You are broken. You are in need of God's love and healing. And you have it. Those words are powerful. They're so simple and they are so powerful. And there are so many people out there who don't experience that, whose lives could be changed by that. So if you're able, come on by on Wednesday and Thursday when we meet with Pastor Eric. Let's spend some time together pondering the ways that we can help people to experience that message and to have their lives changed. Let us pray. Most good and gracious God, you have called us to an incredible mission and asked us to follow you on a journey whose end we do not see. So we follow you. We pledge ourselves and our lives, our talents, our time, our energy, our resources, recognizing that at times it will be scary and at times it will be confusing, but at all times you will be present with us, and that through you and in you, we will be able to bear the fruit that this world needs. In your gracious, good, and loving name, amen.
Amen. Amen.